The Sheldon Museum's Board of Directors votes to change the institution's name to the Haynes Museum, and the Haynes Planning Commission gives initial approval to a proposed 72-lot subdivision. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center will soon be known as the Haynes Museum and Cultural Center after the Board of Directors approved a name change on Wednesday. The museum has been confused with other institutions with similar names since it was founded in the early 80s. To avoid further confusion, the board decided to make the switch. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has the story.
Dropping the name Sheldon from the official title of the museum has been a long time coming, according to director Helen Alton. She adds, the change is not a slight on the family collection that started it all. The motives are mostly to avoid confusion.
One of the things we want to emphasize is that we don't want to insult or have our founders' families feel like we're turning our back on our roots. We are still a collection that was founded by the Hakkinens and in using the Sheldon collection.
The museum in Haynes is often mixed up with the Sheldon Jackson Museum in Sitka. She says that misunderstanding is something the museum in Haynes has been fighting since it was founded. They also get confused with the Sheldon Museum of Art in Nebraska, which can affect federal resources. Alton says that visitors to Haynes often have little name recognition when it comes to the Sheldon Museum, and while she's expecting some resistance to the new development, in the end, she says it's the best decision for the organization and the community.
You know, I don't know. I think some people may feel very strongly against it because the Sheldon Museum has always been our museum. I had been at suggesting that we just call ourselves the Museum of Haynes, but the board thought that that would be difficult for other museums in Haynes, so that we should be the Haynes Museum.
Alton says the museum has grown beyond the Sheldon collection and incorporates artifacts and displays from around the region. The board still wants to honor the founders and will consider a different gesture, such as naming the building after the Sheldons. One board member voted down the motion, but five were in favor on Wednesday. The one board member opposed to the new name wanted it instead to be called Deshu, which means end of the trail, and was a common meeting place for the Tlingit people. Using Chilkat Valley in the title was also discussed, but it was decided there might be some confusion with the Jokat Kwan Cultural Center in Klukwan. The Haynes Museum and Cultural Center is succinct and offers little room for mix-ups, Alton says.
It's a relief in some ways. It's also opening up a whole new set of issues or work plans for us. I mean, we have to change our marketing campaigns and our signage, and so there's a lot of work in that transition that's now going to happen. But it is a relief because I feel like it does more clearly express who we are.
Over the coming weeks and months, the museum will work on making the switch to the Haynes Museum and Cultural Center. In Haynes, I'm Jillian Rogers.
There were two big requests up for review at last week's Haynesborough Planning Commission meeting: a conditional use permit for a private heliport at 36 Mile and a draft plan for a 72-lot subdivision. The commission gave preliminary approval on the subdivision but postponed a decision on the heliport permit. Property owner Michael Wilson of Alaska Heliskiing is requesting a conditional use permit to build on 10 acres of his property near 36 Mile of the Haynes Highway. He says the heliport would allow the company to move operations from a roadside area at 33 Mile to a more remote and safe place away from residences and traffic. Wilson says if the heliport is approved, he plans to build a lodge on the property as well. Six members of the public spoke out against the heliport. They voiced concerns about the proliferation of heliports in Haynes, saying it's not in line with the comprehensive plan. Here's Highway resident Jessica Placia.
Together we can come up with a solution where people's peace and quiet, people's property rights, where all of those things are considered and valued, and also the heli-ski industry is allowed to flourish. But It's going to take work, and I don't think we're there yet.
Tom Ely said it would be a huge mistake to approve another heliport in Haynes.
Residents should be able to determine what they want in their neighborhoods. I certainly wouldn't want to be an adjacent property owner to a heliport.
It turns out the borough doesn't have a definite idea of what neighboring property owners to this proposed heliport would think. That's because it's unclear who owns property west of the area. Planning technician Tracy Tree said it's likely a native allotment. She reached out to the Bureau of Indian Affairs to try to determine the ownership, but there's no answer yet. The commissioners agreed to postpone a decision. They decided to revisit the permit at next month's meeting. The commission took a second look at the proposed Hilltop subdivision. At the last meeting, they turned back the proposal because the plans were 20 years old and didn't conform to code. Now the plan's been updated. Property owner Roger Schnabel proposes the 72-parcel multiple residential subdivision on about 34 acres of land. At the last meeting, neighbors of the property said the subdivision would be too dense and make them reconsider living in the area. Most of the proposed lots are between 15,000 and 20,000 square feet. Tresham Gregg and Tom Ely echoed those concerns.
And looking at that plot, it seems way over populated.
I think we can do better in Haines. I don't think we need to make a 72-lot trailer park.
The project manager for the subdivision, Dave Smith, says one of the goals is to create affordable housing. Commissioner Donnie Turner says he supports that.
Because part of the problem we have is the kids that are working here on, you know, a lot of the not very high-paying jobs can't afford the $100,000 lots and $75,000 lots. And I personally don't have a problem with the lot sizes.
The commission approved a variance request for one of the streets in the plan that has a steep grade. They also disagreed with the borough staff recommendation to reserve one of the larger lots for a park or open space for 5 years. The commission unanimously approved the initial subdivision design. But before the vote, Commissioner Rob Miller addressed the public. He said he wanted to assure them that he was listening to what they were saying.
I agree. It'd be nice if there's a park there. I agree. It'd be nice if the lots were bigger. There's a lot of things that I'd do differently if I were doing the subdivision. But I always have to come back to, does it meet the zoning? Does it meet the comp plan?
That's right.
We can't just put our own preferences and slam them down on the contractors. So that's, I just felt that I wanted to say that because I don't want people to think I'm not paying attention.
There will be another public hearing and commission vote when the subdivision contractors have the 100% design ready. Budget reductions to the State Department of Transportation means many services across Alaska are being slashed, among them winter snow plowing operations. KHNS's Jillian Rogers talked to DOT about what this means for winter driving.
Roads will still be maintained with snow clearing and sanding, but roads in Haines and Skagway will not get continuous clearing during winter storms. DOT spokesperson Jeremy Woodrow says the department is trying to stretch the money it does have when it comes to winter maintenance.
What that means is that we will have reduced operating hours, and because of that, we are making sure the public is aware that we have prioritized roadways in every community that we serve, and we will focus on those priorities and then work our way down to the lesser priority roads as our budget and time allows for our staff.
Roads are ranked based on the volume of traffic. According to the DOT, level one roads are cleared of snow within 24 hours. Woodrow says they only exist in larger cities like Anchorage and Juneau. Level 2 roads are cleared within 36 hours, with the Haines Highway ranked as a second-tier road. The Dyea Road and the Klondike Highway are also Level 2. Mud Bay Road to New Park Road, Union Street and Front Street, and Airport Road are all Level 3, which means it could take up to 48 hours to clear the snow after a storm. Many of the side roads around town simply aren't ranked at all, not even a level 5, which means if it snows a lot, strap on your snowshoes and leave for work early.
The map online is a great place for everyone to visit, look at what the priority level is for the roads and that they travel most frequently, and during a major winter weather event, it will give you a good idea of when you may see the plows come by and clear your roadway.
Woodrow says there is a little wiggle room when it comes to major dumps of snow and emergency situations. Those instances will be looked at on a case-by-case basis, and some overtime could be authorized if it's a matter of public safety. But if it's just your run-of-the-mill blizzard, expect to wait a while.
And that is when our maintenance workers will be limited on the amount of service they can provide, and they will have to focus on those roads that must receive a higher priority.
According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Climate Prediction Center, Alaska is looking at another mild, snowless winter. One contributing factor is El Niño, a series of climate events caused in part by stretches of warm water in the Pacific Ocean. This year's El Niño is predicted to be the strongest on record, according to NOAA. To find out how your road ranks for winter plowing, go to dot.alaska.gov/wintermap. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.